If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the world's top fitness and health and entertainment podcast, we answer fitness and health questions that are asked by some of our listeners. We also open the episode with an introductory portion. This is where we talk about current events. We have a lot of fun. Sometimes we mention our sponsors or we talk about studies. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a breakdown of this entire episode. So the first 43 minutes is the intro portion. We start out by talking about conspiracy theories.
Ooh, our favorite.
Oh, Justin and I have a lot of fun with these.
We go wild.
Some of them are crazy. Some of them not so crazy. All of them are fun.
Look into it.
Then we talk about Kanye West running for president. We got some more information on that. The world is going crazy.
What's happening?
Then we talk about TikTok, the social media platform that all the kids are using, and the U.S. government may actually ban it.
I called this.
There's also a coin shortage. I didn't even know this could happen, but apparently we're running out of coins. Then we talk about Organifi's protein crepes. I said that wrong again, didn't I? Crepes?
Crepes.
I can't say it.
Yeah.
Organifi makes organic supplements. They're high quality. Now, one of our favorite products from them is their protein powder. It's dairy-free, gluten-free, it's allergen-free, tastes really good, easy to mix. High quality amino acid profile because it's a mix of different types of protein.
And it's organic.
And you can use it to make some delicious products. So we talk about the recipe on the episode. Now, if you want to go to Organifi, try their protein or any of their other products, like their green juice, which is their top seller, just do this. We'll give you a discount. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump for 20% off all of their products. Then we talk about ancient architecture. We mentioned James Lindsay on the Joe Rogan podcast. Then we talk about a new social media platform apparently coming out to counter the other ones. It's called Parler. Sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're on there now.
Then we get into the fitness questions. The first one that we answer is, should I go to failure on isolation exercises? The next question, how often do you really need to work your abs and core? The third question, what do we all consider to be the three most essential supplements a person should take? And the last question, how do you fix a hip shift when you're squatting or deadlifting? Also, all month long, MAPS Strong is 50% off. Now, this is a workout program inspired by strongman training. But here are the results that you get from following this program. You get amazing posterior chain development. That means your back, your butt, and your hamstrings. It's one of the best programs for posterior chain development. It's also a phenomenal program for overall strength and overall work capacity, meaning if you follow this program, you'll gradually increase your body's ability to handle more and more intensity and better workouts. So that's a good thing because over time, you do want to improve and increase those things so you can continue to get more and more fit and improve your performance. Now, this program is half off. Here's how you get that 50% off. Go to mapsstrong.com. That's mapsstrong.com. And use the code STRONG50. That's STRONG50 without a space. That's all for the discount. Did I ever tell you guys how I thought there were Italian words that were actually Italian? I thought they were real Italian words, not realizing
they're slang.
That they were English words that my grandmother or my father just said with a really strong accent. So, but I didn't know they were English words. I thought they were Italian. Did I ever tell you about this?
No. Tell me those words again. Oh, you told me one time,
bro. The first time I realized this, I was 12, and I'm in Italy, and we go get some ice cream. And the guy's like, you know, in Italian, he's like, which flavor would you like? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the flavors and I see vanilla and chocolate and strawberry. And I'm like, strawberry. And the guy looks at me like,
it's strawberry.
He's like, huh? I said, strawberry. And I point to it and he goes, fragola? I'm like, what? Fragola?
You would fight?
So my cousin's like, what are you saying? I'm like, strawberry. You never heard that word? I'm, you know, we're talking back and forth. I go home. And I tell my mom, and she starts cracking up. She goes, that's just your grandma saying strawberry with a really strong accent. So I went down the list of there were. Do you know how many words that I thought were real words that weren't?
Now I'm assuming because she speaks half Italian, and then she would sometimes use English words. That's why.
Yeah, just like when you say Spanglish, like what do you call that if it's a mix?
It's
of
like that, right? Yeah. So like garbage. I thought the word, the Italian word for garbage, was gaibisce. or like the hose, you know, the water hose or whatever. Because yeah, my dad always said, "Usa, can you go get the usa?" Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was the hose. I thought, and the best is this. So I used to go work with my dad all the time, and you know, he's a tile setter, so it's tile, marble, whatever. And the stuff that you mix and then you put on the cement or whatever as glue to stick the tile
plaster.
On, it's called thinset.
Oh, thinset.
It says that on the bag, thinset. I didn't know that. I had no idea. All I knew was my dad would say in Italian, "Go get me the thinsetta." And I thought it was called thinsetta until I was like 16 and I grabbed the bag and I see thinset, thinsetta. Like,
oh! That's what he means.
I was like, "That's not the word." That's not the word, dude. There were a lot of words like that. The trunk of the car, trunka. It's just a word that they said wrong. I was like, it was weird.
That's confusing and
it's
hilarious.
It was a weird realization, like blew my mind, you know, when I did all that.
Dude, what is that conspiracy thing you just made me watch,
dude,
Justin?
I don't even want to talk about it.
We can't talk about that. Huh? We'll talk about that another time.
No. Where did you come?
Isn't that crazy?
People have been sending that doc, you know, whatever you call it, documentary to me. I've had it sent to me at least a dozen times. I know Justin has.
Yeah, it really just kind of exposes all the media, Hollywood, everything, CIA, everything all combined in one.
It's all a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
What's it called? Out of the Shadows?
Uh-huh.
Out of the Shadows. Yeah, if you want to just go down the rabbit hole and make yourself feel weird.
There
just
you go.
Watch that
there
all.
You go. I've been there a few times.
Now, was that on any major platform, or is that just being
YouTube
shared through YouTube?
Yeah. And and from my understanding, it keeps getting taken down, which only adds to the allure of the whole thing. You know what's weird that they talk about on there? The Podesta emails. All those emails that they found that all have all these code words, strange.
The WikiLeaks ones?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they're all, you know, the conspiracy theory, of course, is that they're talking about, you know, child sex trafficking, stuff like that.
Right.
If you look these emails up and read them, they make no sense. They talk about pizza and handkerchiefs but weird ways that don't make any sense at all. And they're like big people, like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And
but it's like, come on, like what would you do if you're writing emails that you know eventually somebody could look over in a court of law? You would hide it with like specific words to kind of encode it.
Dude, the world is weird right now. Like, you know, when Hillary lost all her emails, right? Mysteriously lost all her emails.
Yeah.
Right.
And they went and found the servers and the computers, and they were smashed by hammer. Yeah. Like someone went and destroyed them all with a hammer. That's almost as weird as the Epstein killing himself thing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You hear about these things and then they just lose momentum immediately.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Anybody following the girl that got, we brought this up the other day, like, and she was, the rumor was she was going in the same cell. I don't know if that was a joke.
Oh, no, that was a joke. You're talking about Gilsane or whatever?
The girl that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, are we paying attention to like where she's at and alive still
and
everything?
Apparently she had made copies of all these videos and things that Epstein had. So
and she's ready to talk.
She's ready to kind of reveal it, which is exciting, but also I'm worried. You know, I'm worried that somehow it's going to get meddled with.
So what is going to happen? Because when Epstein mysteriously died and the surveillance cameras turned off and the security guards fell asleep and all this obviously, you know, bullshit or whatever, what's going to happen if and when she dies mysteriously? Are people going to lose their minds, or are they just going to not do anything about it?
Is it just going to keep going on like, oh, well, it happened again?
Yeah.
Me.
I don't know, man.
Or are we actually going to get upset and you know, do something about it?
Yeah, dude, because it's all, wow, it's all weird,
I know.
Dude. Part of me is almost like, dude, if it is this big, you know, if this conspiracy thing is true and it is all these big, powerful people, what's going to happen if they do get taken down? Like if it does get revealed, imagine this, right? So
what's that going to do to the structure of society?
I did this thought experiment the other day because I'm reading all this stuff and conspiracy theories to me are fun. That's all. I get entertained by them. But part of me is like, okay, let's say this is true and it all comes out, right? Let's say what they say, right? Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew and Beyonce and Oprah, all these powerful people all get taken down at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, like, are people even going to believe it?
Yeah.
That's it's so much.
It's such a major shift. I don't know that people that would mentally handle it.
Such a, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally. Oh, that's why it's like you talk about it, but it's like I kind of keep it to myself, you know? Because it's just, it goes so deep that it's at a point where I don't think people will want to even recognize it, you know, as being a possibility.
Yeah. I remember how hard it was for me to even believe, like, what's his name? Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Just because I was so sold on the fact that he was such a nice guy.
You remember when that totally. First came out? I got fucking fire.
So bummed about.
I got fire for just saying, like, oh, you know, before everyone jumps on it that he for sure is a pedophile. Like, wait, you know,
no, he wasn't a pedophile. He was just a rapist.
I mean, a rapist. Yeah. Like, you know,
just terrible.
Don't you remember though? I got shit on the podcast for because when it first hit the news, even I wasn't like, okay, I'm not gonna just automatically.
Yeah.
Believe everything until more stuff. God, boy, people were pissed. Yeah.
Well, no, that's a good position. I think you should always do that when you hear something, is to wait until there's evidence. Well,
I'm always that way. Yeah, you know. But the fact that I expressed that and said that, of course, I got an.
But it was a weird feeling because you don't realize how influenced you are by, you know, a person's fake persona for years. Yeah, that it's hard to believe someone like that because he's such an
upstanding, you know, like example of somebody in society that you strive to be like, you know, and it was like such a beacon of good values.
Yeah, well, that's what you think, right? Yeah.
Well, the thing that I have a hard time with, and you know, you I never watch this stuff. You two are definitely more.
Oh, we have a good time.
Yeah, I know. And you guys made me watch this one. The thing that I have a hard time wrapping my brain around when watching stuff like this is that I mean you say this on the podcast all the time, and so I believe that you believe this, which is that there's more good people out there than there are bad.
Yeah.
Do we agree on that?
I do.
So
I
if
do.
We agree, if we agree on that percentage wise, okay, that means more than 50% are good. Now let's say Hollywood is fucking corrupt and a bulk of them are bad. That still would leave a good percentage of good people within it.
Right.
Mm. That I couldn't imagine how something like that could go on for so long and not enough people.
There's just so much subtleties involved.
There's nothing subtle. There's nothing subtle about fucking pedophilia, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hold on a second. Who's that dude? Who's that dude that got in big trouble? What's his name? The overweight. Gross producer guy who was like super powerful.
Weinstein?
Yes. Decades.
Yeah.
He was like this for decades. It was
people
well known.
Knew about it. Yeah.
Nobody said anything. He got away with it for a very, he was best friends with Oprah and all these famous, powerful people. He got away with it for a long time.
Yeah, but I feel
dude.
Like this is much bigger than that.
Well, think
you're
about
one. Now you're talking about one man and everybody that he's impacted, and there's lots of people that know or speculate on it. And really, the only people that really know are the people that have been impacted or saw it, right? Because everything else is hearsay. And so, you know, it's the old saying that goes, believe half of what you see and nothing that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's speculation still with a lot of that. But when you're watching something like this, it's talking about a massive ring that has tons of powerful people in it. I just think that, God, that's so many.
Yeah.
For so that. Many moving parts.
Yes. Like, how is there not at least two good people connected to those three people, and at least two people that are good connected to those three people?
I agree. That's logic, right? Logic will says all that. But then there's another side of me that, you know, has fun with it.
They'll hide it too, you know?
Well, that says, look, there were people that would try to, you know, what do they call them? Whistleblowers that mysteriously.
Yeah, they just disappear.
Yeah, or, kill, you know, you know, committed suicide under strange circumstances or whatever. Yeah. You have Epstein who his private flight logs are, I mean, the most famous people and powerful people you can think of on his plane multiple times. I've told, you know, I said this before, Bill Clinton was on there, I don't know how many times, 20-something times, many of those times, told the Secret Service to stay home. So in situations like that, especially if you have incriminating evidence on the person, you know what I'm saying? Look, let's say you do some dirt with somebody, something really, really bad, but they have the evidence of it. They have the pictures. They have the video or whatever. Now they have blackmail on you, and they could say, hey, look,
well, this also
and you're not going to say anything.
This also goes back to that book that I'm reading right now that I tell you guys about with the thinking fast and thinking slow. And, you know, you up until 2 years ago, I didn't even know who Jeffrey Epstein was.
Hmm.
So the only information that I've been presented of him as an individual has been all put in a negative disgusting bad light.
Right.
So my brain has already formulated an opinion on him. And so anything that could potentially connect to him or confirm that bias is very easy for you to go down that rabbit hole believing all that stuff, right? So it's just because you could. Here's another thing that I look at when I see, like, I watched his documentary and everything. There is no doubt he is for sure one of the most powerful people just because of his relationships that he's connected with. So to me, I go, okay, all these people that are going to his place, you know, is it always because of this pedophilia stuff, or because this guy is very powerful and connected?
Right.
And yeah, I want to be connected to this guy and have relationships with this guy because he can pull a lot of strings. Like,
totally.
So
true.
That's my brain just works that way. And by no means, because I don't want to get fucking DMs and emails from people like this. I'm not defending this guy. I'm just trying to help think logically through a process like this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just not as fun as thinking about the
big, it's more entertaining to jump on the bandwagon, right?
Speaking of entertaining, Kanye, huh? So he's running for reals. Did you see his, like, what he said his platform is and all that stuff?
No.
You guys didn't see that?
What is it? I just know he was trying to, like, separate himself a bit from Trump.
He says he did that. They asked him if, because here's what would inevitably probably happen. Let's say he ran as an independent, which is what he would have to do, he would definitely, in my opinion, many people's opinions, pull votes from Biden over votes from Trump, right? So he would hurt Biden far more. They asked him about that. He says, I don't care. Part of me thinks that's the plan. Part of me thinks he's doing this to do that, because remember how he was so supportive, you know, of Trump. He said that he said vaccines are a mark of the beast, whatever that means, and that his running mate would be a pastor from, I forgot where. He's never voted in his entire life. So never voted, but running for president.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be...
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is going to be interesting, dude. I mean, if you take a step back and you just look at it as entertainment, this is a great reality show.
And he's really going through with this.
That's what he says. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, a publicity stunt.
You called this early on that this may be the most entertaining election we've ever seen in our life. Oh. And if Kanye's now throwing his name in the hat, it's for sure definitely going that way.
You know what makes me wonder that there, because this could potentially be a viable strategy. So if I was an evil political strategist, let's say I worked for the Republican National Convention or the Democrats,
right? Is this you putting your name in the hat right here?
No. Okay. Let's just say I did, and I would never, by the way. But
it's definitely 2020.
Yeah, I'm just saying, let's say I worked for them as a political strategist. This could be a very effective strategy to win an election where, let's say you're running, it's close, you want to win. You find somebody to run as an independent who you know will pull votes from your opponent,
right?
Have them run just enough to screw them over so that you could win. You
basically
know what I'm saying?
Ross Perot-em.
Essentially, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that too. I wonder if that's exactly what's going to play out, or, you know, if people just look at it as a joke and won't even vote for him.
I don't know, dude. Well, I mean, he's popular enough to where, because think about the votes he would potentially get. The young vote, I think, is what he would do.
You don't
the best
think
at.
He's already lost? Like, I feel like, you know, when he came out and hardcore supported Trump, I feel like he lost a lot of his, like, hard left people following him because of that.
Right.
I think that
don't you think he already kind of lost? And then the ones that are sticking around are your conservatives.
I think he would pull enough people from that side that are young, because he's Kanye, maybe pull some of the black vote, especially the black vote that may be strong Christians, for example, because they might identify with him or whatever.
Yeah, they're already conservative. They're already leaning Trump.
Maybe not, because remember what's been painted so much about him is that he's racist or whatever. Mm. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, if you were to pull from either any side, it would be Biden.
I can't see anybody who considers himself. The only thing I like that you say, or that I agree with that you say, is that he may get a black vote that wasn't really voting and is young, that it starts to come out and do that. Otherwise, if you're already considered a regular voter, I don't see anybody really voting for him seriously.
So when you look at the political landscape, both parties, people who are solid right and left, are a minority. The majority of voters are in the middle somewhere, undecided. That's where the fight is. You're not going to win over the hardcore Republicans if you're a Democrat, and vice versa. It's not going to happen. It's almost impossible. You're wasting your time, essentially.
Right.
But what you are trying to do is get those people who are kind of like in between, and Kanye may prevent some of those in-betweeners from going to Biden who maybe weren't going to go to Trump to begin with. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. It's gonna be.
It's like everybody gets yays.
Dude, this is why I say, man, we should vote for the president to have as little power as possible because this would not be terrifying.
He might be a rapper soon. Yeah, dude.
He makes sick beats though, dude. Yeah, you know, like, yes, come on, dude. We need that,
dude.
Or he tricks out the White House. That would be cool,
dude. You know what's even worse than that? So if let's just pretend, right? If he was president, that means that Kim would be the first lady.
Yeah, dude. Oh man. First lady got back.
Dude, that means the Kardashians would be in the White House.
No. That's a whole nother reality show I don't want to watch.
Oh, my God. What a
you
show.
Would, though. I would. I would.
But that's what I'm saying. If they had no power, if the president, like they're supposed to, had little power, which is originally how it's supposed to be, this would be entertaining. But because they have so much power, it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. It's terrifying. They do have that much influence. I mean, look at what was the other Kardashian, the one that is the one that had the app that like that crashed Snapchat. That
I know.
What's her name? Yeah, because she said it was dead.
Yeah.
They lost.
I don't remember.
Like, I was like, I could not believe the power,
dude,
that one individual had.
Dude, speaking of apps, you guys hear what's going on with TikTok?
Oh, so something about they're talking about potentially pulling it from U.S., right? Yeah. Is that what I hear?
Yeah. Okay, so it's a Chinese.
I called this.
We did, dude.
Yeah,
it's a Chinese-owned app, and I do not trust any company that is going to be a part of a communist party because they don't have the same protections. Not saying American government doesn't do it either.
There's
potentially
massive state influence.
But yeah, but the risk is that they're going to capture all kinds of crazy data that people are going to give up willingly on Americans, and apparently there's some evidence that they may be happening. So Australia and India are already talking about banning TikTok, and now the U.S. government is talking about.
But what data are they really getting? I mean, let's go through this. Like, there's
your
people
dance
just
moves in your face.
You know, like it's the stupidest thing.
Well, what
I've
did
ever
Sal?
Seen.
Yeah, well, Sal Sun said a witty comment about that because he was teasing Bree for being on TikTok.
What did he say?
He said, he's telling her like, oh, you use TikTok, and she's like, yeah, I love TikTok about that. He's like, you're not worried about your face being used on an ID in China for committing crimes in like 2 years.
That's a valid point.
No.
Sometimes he makes me really proud.
Yeah, no, he did. So that was actually pretty witty and clever.
Well,
I would have thought that.
Well, look, think about it. Let's say they get. Like,
aren't you in Dubai? Yeah. Like a gym somewhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I've already had like profiles for like the eHarmony and like
with your picture,
yeah, with all my stuff. I mean, shit, you put it out there on Instagram and Facebook.
Somebody's gonna use it.
It's really easy to rip and then make those.
Well,
people laid.
Think about it this way: TikTok is on your iPhone. Technically, if they're smart enough or whatever, they could go into the other data that's on your phone. They could know things like location, age.
Yeah.
They could get your
everything,
your
basically.
Thumbprint, your they could get anything they want. And then what would they
facial
use
recognition.
That? Yeah, that could be used for all kinds of things. Espionage. It could be used to manipulate kids. You could kind of see.
Well, that's what made me concerned about it when I read about like the U.S. government or the the military was already banning everybody in the military from using it since day one. And what the rest of the public shouldn't be worried, dude.
So
what?
who's the brilliant millionaire that starts up the U.S. version of TikTok to be ready for as soon as that drops off to give kids an alternative?
Yeah, where's that? Yeah.
Right, because I mean that to me that would be the most brilliant thing to be watching for right now is if it's going to get banned in all these countries and it's because it's tied to China. What happens when
or does Instagram just add that as a new feature just like they did with Snapchat?
Well, think what if how about this? What if China just sends over a spy who then invents another app, but now he's based in the U.S., but he's still connected over there. Like, what's to stop them from doing that
watching
shit?
Watching too many conspiracy theories, dude. You fucking
we're on a roll.
TikTok gate.
That's what happened during the Cold War, dude. That shit used to happen
TikTok,
all
you don't stop.
The time. You know, that's how they got the nuclear. They got nuclear technology. They stole it from the U.S.
Through TikTok?
No. Okay. No, that was
thankfully TikTok.
That
wasn't there yet.
That was the old school way, the hard way of doing it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Another crazy thing. You sent me an article that I had read earlier about the coin shortage. So I read the article, right?
What is going on in the world today?
Yeah. So does that mean my pennies are going to be worth more soon?
No, it means that there's a shortage because of COVID. They weren't producing as many.
Yeah, not circulating.
Yeah, something like that. So now we're not having as many coins. Now here you want to talk about conspiracy theories. I'm like, are they trying to get us to, off paper? Right. So they could track everything? Anyway, I'm going
well,
too far
with this. So I don't understand. I read the article And I you know, I sent the screenshot of my big, you know, 5 gallon Alhambra full of coins.
Yeah, right? You're like, I've been waiting for this.
You've been waiting for this, right?
Finally!
Like, it's the smart. But all it really it shows me is that, and it's just obvious, right? So all these countries are in lockdown and are not going to stores and using paper money and coins. Yeah. We're
nobody's making, using cash right
yeah,
now.
We're Venmoing and we're buying with credit online. Yeah. And like,
and the mint isn't producing as many because right. production is down because their offices are
right.
shut
so
down.
What's the big deal? I mean, I don't, is it like one of those articles that just meant to like get everybody riled up over it and it doesn't really mean anything?
I don't know. I mean, what could it technically mean? Well, it could technically mean that if you bought something with cash, you couldn't get exact change back. You know, it could mean something like that. I mean, that's not that big of a deal, I guess.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah.
What do you guys do with your change? I mean, you obviously store it in a big gallon.
I keep it in my 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of random change all over my truck. You know, it's just, I try to get rid of it whenever I have it.
I've been supportive of getting rid of pennies, at least pennies. What do you do with a penny? Have you ever used a penny to buy something?
It's like dirty.
It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, yeah. Doesn't it cost more money to make it than it's worth?
No, I have family member and friends that are like this, that like they keep like the change in there and they always try and give exact change when they buy something, which is like the opposite theory how I always do things, right? So their theory is like always keeping that change nearby. So it's like when something is $1.72, they can give them exactly $1.72 and nothing more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where I'm like, oh, I always want to pay over so I can collect all this change and then I save it because I don't ever want to pay with it. So it's just like, oh, it's building up.
How much change have you saved? You know,
there's a lot. So I do $1 bills too. So I do $1 bills and then I do, you know, quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies. Right?
So you don't save $1 bills?
Yeah, I don't.
You just throw them in the jar.
Yeah, if a $1 bill is in my pocket from the day or whatever, I'll stuff it in there. Yeah, just
and you don't know how much money's in there, huh?
Well, I used to. So this all started with change first, but then I realized that like I looked up like one of those change jars like. Totally filled up, like how much money would it really be? And it was nowhere near what I'd want it to be for saving it for years and years.
Do you ever roll it up and take it to the bank, or you do that coin machine in Safeway?
No, they take like fucking 30%.
I know, I did that and I was so pissed.
Yeah, they take way too much. No, yeah.
That's how lazy people are.
No, I'll pay like a family member or a kid something to roll those one day or whatever. But my theory back then was like, you know, That was a decent amount of money for me to be saving. Like, oh, if I save this up for a couple of years, it'd be a few thousand dollars, it'd be a vacation or whatever. Like, now I look at it, and it's like as long as it's taking to build up, I'm like, this is in deflation, right, or whatever. Inflation is going to cause it to be worth less than what it fucking is.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, right? So then I started shoving dollar and sometimes $5 bills inside of it to like, okay, well, maybe now it'll build up when it's, you know, filled up all the way.
When I was a kid, I would, because this is back in the day when you would actually go to the convenience store and play video games there because they would have an arcade or whatever in there. I would scrounge for a quarter, a single quarter, and I'd walk a whole mile just to go play Street Fighter.
Yeah.
You know, just go play Street Fighter at the
there
Express
There it is. There it is. It's 5 gallons is about $1,100.
That's not bad.
Okay.
Bro, you know how long it takes to fill one of those up? I've been working on that for like 7 years.
Really?
More than that. Really? And I'm about halfway up.
Now, do you do something like, is it like, okay, once it's up to a certain point, this money is for something special, like fun?
Well, so Katrina and I, it's longer than that, over 10 years, because I had it before Katrina. So before Katrina, it was just, I was saving it. And then she came in and she puts a little bit of change in every once in a while. And I said, well, now I have to include you in this thing, right? Yeah. So because you're adding to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's do this. When it fills all the way up, we'll take everything in it and we'll do a vacation. So that's the plan with it. And then that's why
you put the dollar and five.
Yeah. So I looked it up. I'm like, vacation for $1,100. I'm going to do shit.
Yeah. I feel like you get better return from one of those like credit cards for airline miles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Justin's correct.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing out how ridiculous it is.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like the time it takes to roll it all up. You know what I mean? Might not even be worth it.
Yeah. I really thought it would be a lot more money than $1,100. And then I saw that. But I also do this too, though. So like I really try and put mostly quarters. And my goal is that it's more than what these averages come out
to be. You're not like Justin and you say 50 cent pieces or whatever. Remember he told us that story?
I still have that in my like bank account somewhere. So yeah.
What do you mean in your bank account?
Well, like a safe deposit box.
That's so funny. It's like 1950s.
Someday they'll be worth you know its weight in gold.
I remember my mom once gave me $2 bills because remember how they made those for a short period of time?
Yeah.
So they were, it was so weird to have a $2 bill. So
what is the story on the $2 bill? There's a story behind that, right? How it got started. There's a reason for that. I don't remember what I read.
Yeah. So it was in circulation, but then they pulled it out because obviously it was stupid.
Doug's old enough. What's the $2 bill history? Do you know it?
I don't recall. I'm going to look it up here.
Doug
remembers when $2 was worth $2,000. Remember that, Doug?
Who's
those are good days.
Those are the good old days.
You could buy a whole pterodactyl.
Who's on the $2 bill?
Who's on the $2 bill?
Yeah, do you know who's on the
$2? I don't know. You should look that up.
Yeah.
Poor whoever that president is. Damn it.
I don't remember who's even on it.
They took my face off. Yeah, let's find that out. I finally picked the car that we want. Remember how I was debating between the Suburban in the minivan.
So do you have it? I know you picked it out.
We got it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
How does it feel?
So we got the Suburban.
All right.
It's a big car, dude.
Yeah.
That is a really big car.
How masculine do you feel?
I already feel masculine. I don't need a big car to do that.
Yeah, you don't think that.
I don't need a big lifted truck to display my.
Hey, maybe maybe that doesn't help anything, but I can't imagine that a van would make you lose.
It balances it out.
I feel like a van would make you lose a little bit.
First off, it's a massive car, but it drives like a smaller car.
That's what's different about the today. Like
it doesn't drive like a big.
If you
truck.
Bought an old, if you bought like the old, you know, in the 90s,
yeah, they were like tanks that you could barely had no turning radius.
Yeah, you need two hands to turn.
Bro, I did a U-turn in that thing. I'm like, wow, this thing has got incredible turning radius.
Yeah, I don't have my Denali anymore, right? But my Denali had a better turning radius than the little C-Class Mercedes we had.
Wow.
So right here where we flip a Yui, so whenever I would have the Denali, I can flip it, come right back over here this way. If I have the Mercedes, I go down the block and come back around.
Because, really?
Yeah, the turning radius is worse on the little C-Class.
No, it's easy to drive and it's comfortable. The reason why we got it, it's got tons of space because I got a third kid, right, on the way.
Yeah.
Because I have, you know, my son and daughter. Now I got a third one. And if we bring anybody else or we're going somewhere for distance, say we're driving up to Tahoe, I'm going to have the third row up or whatever. And every other vehicle with a third row, if you have the third row up, there's
no space in the back.
There's
to put anything.
Now, the minivan I was thinking would be good, but minivans, their trunk space is now it's deep, but it's like this wide.
Yeah.
What are you going to put in there? We don't really put much. So we needed something that had a lot of trunk space.
You can't
space
stack everything vertically.
No, yeah. No. So we're, you know, but Jessica drives it.
So now that you got it, let's do what we did at Justin's. What do you think about
it? No, I'm not going
to lift it up.
Let's lift it.
So what am I going to do with a lifted? What am I doing?
Badass.
You have a Tahoe location now, dude. There's snow there all the time.
You don't need to lift it to go in the snow unless you're going off road and
you might need to.
Now that Justin's lifted, we might be doing a lot of off roading this year.
We're going to go on excursions.
No. Come on, guy.
Yeah. No, I have a
safaris.
I have a big penis. I don't need to lift my.
Wow.
The person who has to say that is questionable. That's all I'm saying.
That's the stereotype, right?
Yeah.
Wonder if it's true. Anyway,
I have one.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway, dude. Hey, what about those protein crepes from, am I saying it right?
Crepes.
It looks like it says crepe.
I actually just sent it over to Katrina because I want to make it. So Organifi posted just yesterday these crepes. Did you see these yet, Justin?
They look really good.
Greek, like remind me what a crepe technically is.
You've never ate at the crepe place right here in Willow by our old studio?
No, I'm not, like Opa was the most Greek I've been.
I eat pancakes since they're American.
Now in Italy they're a big deal, right?
You can get them.
Cakes. They have them.
I think crepes are French.
They are French, yeah, but in Italy they have a.
You're all wrong.
They have them over in Italy, don't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. You eat them with Nutella. You can eat them with cheese and ham. They're really good.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, they have savory ones, and then they have what you're talking about. Whatever we call that. If it's not savory, would be like
cheese and ham.
Be like cream cheese, right?
Yeah. No. They'll put like
grilled cheese.
Yeah, no. They'll put. You could put like mozzarella in there. You could put. I mean, any kind of cheese you want, essentially.
Ooh, talk dirty to me.
And they're done deal.
I can't believe you haven't had the crepe place that's right over here.
I haven't, dude. You guys never invited me.
We should go over there and eat sometime.
So what I like about the Organifi is it's dairy-free because crepes usually crepe. I don't know, whatever.
Crepes.
Usually crepe.
Why is it so hard for you to say?
Because it looks like it's got an E. Oh, it doesn't have an A. If it had an A, it'd be craps, I guess. Yeah. Crepes.
I don't want to eat that.
But it's got, it's, you know, every usually they're made with some kind of dairy, which, you know, messes up my stomach. This one's got no dairy. Look at, you blend together 3/4 cup of unsweetened vanilla nut milk, 1/3 cup of tapioca flour, 1/3 cup of coconut flour, 3 organic free-range eggs, 1 scoop of Organifi protein, and a dash of salt. Then you pour the batter on a pan, and you flip it or whatever, and there's your crepe.
Yeah,
crepe.
30 seconds. They cook
sounds like delicious.
Super fast.
And then you can
put some Nutella on it or something.
Yeah, dude. Ball.
That's what they. So in Paris, that's what they have them like on every corner.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And they make them with those, like the little stick or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? The stick. Have you been to Paris?
Yeah.
When'd you go to Paris?
Let's see here. 2000 and go back 12 years. What is that? 2008.
Carry the one.
Yeah, I don't know.
What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was probably one of my favorite trips. I saw a lot too. I was dating another girl at the time, and we went out there with her parents, and we were only there for like, I want to say five or six days. So it was a shorter trip to go all the way out there for as long of a plane ride. This is also when I had tore my ACL MCL. Mm. I ever told you guys this story?
No.
So right after I tore my ACL and MCL, we had already had this trip booked, and that happened like a week before. Dang. So before surgery or anything.
So you're in crutches or anything?
Oh, I was on crutches, and I had that. So before surgery, they put you in that foam brace thing.
Oh, you can't bend your knee?
Yeah, where it locks you all the way out. Yep. And if you've ever been to Paris, there's cobblestone everywhere. Yep. And it's so beautiful.
And you walk everywhere.
Yeah, you walk everywhere. And so, you know, and I'm like crutching around. Luckily, I'm in shape fitness guy, so like that part is whatever, you know. But I'm like... Just beautiful everywhere, staring up at buildings.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And I'm moving around. And I did one of these, like, kind of just looking to the right. And my leg, because it's locked out, it drags and it hits a cobblestone and hooks on it as I'm rotating with my hips. Oh, and you could hear the tear more.
Oh.
Fell down to the ground, dude, like crying. Like, oh, I was in so much pain. Everybody like, are you okay, sir? Are you okay? And I'm like, oh, my knee's so bad.
I love Paris. So we went to Paris, and then we went to Nice, which is in the south of France. Gorgeous. It's just it's a beautiful country. Mm. I love going to places and seeing old art. I love it. Because especially like Rome, for example.
Yeah.
Rome is amazing. Well, first of all, it's busy, it's packed, it's a big tourist destination. But once you get past that, you're looking at something and you sit there and you realize you're looking at something that's 2,000.
So old.
Yeah, 2,000 years old. Well, the people that have seen this.
I didn't really appreciate and care for that stuff as a kid growing up. It wasn't until I got older and realized that we have so little history here.
Yeah. I mean, and we have a lot of history. It's just not as old.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. We have very little as far as how long it is. Uh-huh. And then when you go back there, that's what's so amazing to me. It's like you think about everywhere we go here. It's like everything's like...
If it's like 200 or 300 years old, it's a big deal.
Right, it's a big deal. Yeah. It's
my grandma's house in Italy was 200 years old. You know, I'm not exaggerating.
Wow. Right,
the house my dad grew up in was a couple here 100 years old.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is not that big of a deal.
Right.
You know? Over there, it's like thousands of years old is considered.
And the architecture is just like amazing.
Yeah, when my dad was a kid, he was working, as you know, he worked in construction as a young boy, and they were digging and they hit some Greek artifacts. Just Sicily, at one point, the Greeks were there. This is before they, you know, became Italy or whatever. So even before, I believe, before the Romans, and they had to stop and they shut the whole place down. And then, they roped it off and they dug things up. That's how old, it's weird.
You know, well, you know what, trippy too? Here's one cool one to look up, Doug. You can fact check me because I don't remember the stats on it, but look up how long it took to build the Louvre.
Generations.
Yes.
I know.
Now think about that for a second. Like, so that, and it was
you won't even see it being built
right.
and finished.
So I tripped out on that when I read this. Like, so, you know, imagine, and by the way, it was someone's home first, right? Mm-hmm. That was, they were building it as a big ass mansion home for somebody. But I think it took well over 100 years. It was multiple generations were working on that to build that. Imagine that. Imagine being your age right now. And you're like busting ass building something for your kids' kids?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, that would be weird, dude.
Yeah,
well, we were tripping out on that. Like, even just like the old, like, even with the pyramids, all these like ancient, you know, megalithic structures that were built back in the day. Like, you have a concentrated effort in one direction from, you know, masses of people. Like, we just don't have that kind of unified energy and attention towards building like a mega structure anymore. And it's like, I think that gets downplayed a lot.
blah. Yeah, bro, look at this. 300 years.
Yeah, I know.
340 years it took.
Bro, the cathedral, the Duomo in Milan, it took 6 centuries.
Yeah.
For 6 centuries. Now, if you go to these places and you look at them, of course, they didn't have modern technology, which really trips me out is the engineering.
Oh, like, yeah, that's what I mean.
The math that went into that.
Well, it was a craftsmanship.
Insane. In
the,
yeah. But you look at it and you walk up close and you see like every little square inch has incredible detail and you realize like, you know, if your dad worked on it, right, he finished this much of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what he
had
a
little section.
He had just a tiny section working on it. What really trips me out is the engineering that some of these ancient structures, like what was it called? The aqueducts, the Roman Empire. Yeah. They didn't have modern plumbing, but yet they built aqueducts that would take water, fresh water from the Alps and bring it all the way down to, you know, southern Italy or whatever, all naturally, all through, you know, proper engineering. Some of those still work today.
They had that in the Incas too, I think.
Yeah. It's really wild. Yeah, there's some theories that there were civilizations that way predate all that that existed on Earth that just because they were so old that they just, we have no remnants of them. We have a little bit of evidence, but not much. What's that guy's name? Graham Hancock?
Yeah, Graham Hancock.
Yeah, didn't he say something about
someone reading his book right now?
Yeah, Courtney is.
Oh, Courtney is?
Yeah. Was it Fingerprints of the Gods?
Fingerprints of the Gods.
Didn't he say something like the Sphinx in Egypt's got like erosion lines on it? And water wasn't in Egypt until way before the Egyptians?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like they didn't build it. It was already there type of deal?
Right. So yeah, it predates the pyramids.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. It's like the history that we know, like nobody's really poking holes in it like he is in like some of these other, and he came from like a journalistic background.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So it was like, so that community and the archaeology community hates, you know, the work that, he's investigating all this stuff. And, you know, because it's such an idea, like they have like this whole idea of how everything came to be. And like, this is the story and the narrative they all came up with. You're trying to counter it that, you know, they're going to push back like hard.
His episodes on Rogan are pretty awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's got, speaking of Rogan, did you guys listen? What's his name? Is it James Lindsay?
Sent that for us to listen to. I didn't listen to it.
Episode. Maybe Doug can look it up.
I was listening to that this morning.
Yeah. You guys both heard it?
Yeah.
So fill me in. I have no idea.
So this guy, the thing about his episode that was really interesting to me is in I believe this was in 2018, him and his friend, and they're both, is he a journalist or a researcher? I think he's a journalist.
Yeah, I think he's a journalist. I mean, he's obviously is working in academia and trying to,
So in 2018, they created a bunch of fake research papers, super, super fake, just to poke fun at, you know, some of these publications. And one of them actually won an award, so which is hilarious. He wrote this paper, and so he positioned himself as a
feminist?
Yeah, a black lesbian feminist. This is how he positioned. It was a researcher. And she, you know, is, according to his paper, studied dog parks for an entire year, 6 hours a day. And what she was, James Lindsay is his name. And he, in according to this research, she studied, fake research, studied the dog rape, essentially.
Okay, so this is him pretending to be somebody else.
No, this is actually him. Yeah. The research is him pretending to be someone else.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
So in the research, essentially says that they were studying when male dogs would hump male dogs, or when male dogs would hump female dogs, how would the white cisgender male owners react? Would they react different? And this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so they came up with this whole theory, according to this fake research, that the rape culture in dog parks is like the rape culture.
It's parallel to the rape culture in clubs.
Yeah, accepted rape culture in clubs and bars, which is, there's no accepted rape.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And it's the thing about him that's really brilliant is he did the work at really understanding the terminology and the words that they, you know, this woke culture is using. And so he tries to help everybody understand and define, you know, where this comes from, like what it actually means, because there's just so much of it is to make things more confusing on purpose.
Yeah. So in this research, he says that the way that dogs are handled is the way that men should be handled in order to fix this problem. Anyway, It's, and if you look at the research, it's hilarious. When you read it, you're like, oh my gosh.
Because you know it's fake.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, even if you didn't, you'd read it and you would either think it's crazy or whatever. Anyway, that got an award.
Well, the point is that
it's just enough parody to make, you know, your average person's like, oh man, I can't believe like this would pull, like pass through. But they're looking for narratives like this so hard that it was like, yes, this is what we want to put out there. And then he won an award for it.
He got an award and then he told them, hey, listen, this is fake, which of course, you know, got everybody.
Did you guys see that? Is there like actually a video of him like announcing that it was fake?
No,
like,
I don't.
Obviously, he had to keep it under wraps.
He documented it in like videoed when he received the email and everything, that they actually chose his paper as the award. And so I don't know where this documentary is, but I think that they're going to come out
with
it.
But they had several papers published by scientific journals that were fake. So the journals actually published them. And he's doing it on purpose to prove a point, right?
Of course.
Yeah. There's articles that he wrote under fake names to see if they would get published by news organizations, articles that say things like...
This is what I'm talking about, dude. This is why it's going to be so important in the next 10 years plus that like you just double, triple fact check and be careful of the things that confirm your bias.
Dude.
Like,
yes.
To me, that is like one of the most dangerous things for our kids growing up is going to be shit like this.
Dude, it's just common sense. Like use common
critical
sense.
Critical thinking.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but we're losing that,
well,
right?
Well, I mean...
It's a lost skill.
I talked about this before. Like there were articles coming out that saying that the 22 million people that protested, in many cases tight quarters, tens of thousands of people... did not cause any, you know, increase in transmission of COVID.
Right.
To me, that's like it's so counter, at least the narrative. It's counter to what they've been telling us this whole time, which is don't go be around more than 10 people. Why would they release articles like that? It's so counter common knowledge, or at the very least, like I said, it's against what they've been saying the whole time. In which case, I mean, I think people are going to be left in a situation where they just don't believe anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're heading?
I know. That's a scary thought, but it's looking like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, speaking of social media, I guess there's a social media company that's coming out that's trying to counter like Facebook and Twitter. Have you heard of it? Parlor?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah, I have not been on there.
I did. I looked it up and I wanted it. Well, I think it's would be smart to invest in, and I wanted to see if they were publicly traded. And they're not public; it's all private money.
Now, what's the premise? It's basically uncensored social media, so they don't edit or censor it.
I guess, right? What I get from it is like imagine, you know, news 30 years ago or whatever. When did Fox come on the scene?
Yeah, I think
was
you're
it
right.
Like after that, right?
Something like that.
So I imagine that's what we're seeing with social media is that a lot of people believe that much of it is, you know, slanted left. And so there's an opportunity for a more right or conservative social media platforms to emerge. And I think what we saw, so if you're somebody who's like...
So is it conservative or is it just uncensored?
Well, it's did Fox come out and say they're conservative when they first came out?
That's a great point.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think Fox came out and said, we're going to be the conservative news. I think they just recognize that
fair and balanced. Right. That was the name of their...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what I... if I'm reading between the lines correctly, what I see is that this is going to be... You know, they recognize there is a need for a other side that would want, you know, it's so funny because that's what I see, exactly what I think it is. They're positioning it, of course, like where you're alluding, which is like a more non-biased type of thing. Like, really, though? Like, or is it just going to be like Fox?
Or is it going to be the alternative?
Right.
And then you're just going to keep having wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny because like I was with my dog and met up with my friend and we do this every now and then and talk shit. And he was just telling me how he just got kicked off of Facebook and he's got a business and everything. And like, so there's, you know, there's a reason for him to be on there. This is affecting him financially, but because he was directly messaging Gavin Newsom. He wasn't doing it in a way where he was threatening or anything like that, but he was using language like, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, like, I look forward to seeing you out of office, and like, was just like really aggressively, like, you know, like trying to get his point across, and they just, literally that could be the only reason he got kicked off.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, these are market-based companies, and if there's a need in the market,
of course,
then someone's going to fill it. There's a lot of money to be made.
Well, and that's where what piques my interest is that, like, I care less about the political bullshit. I'm like, well, that's a smart investment, so if you can get in on that, and I believe that you can, but like with private or VC-type money, get involved in
those. I called this, I don't know how many episodes ago.
Yeah, you
did. I think
we're
going to see a mass exodus of social media, and that, of course, will open up a market for
someone. Well, and so to me, I don't even think we're going to see a mass exodus. I think what will...
I know what you meant,
I think you were right on with your point, and I think we're both right, right? Because I didn't think there'd be a mass exodus. What we're going to see is a division. We're going to see that will emerge, and instead of everybody completely leaving their addiction of social media, they'll just move to their more biased platform.
How funny is that? You're going to be able to look at someone's phone and then tell... you know, where they stand on things. Just like you can with news. Like, hey, where do you watch your news? You know, CNN. Oh, I know where you think. Or hey, Fox. Yeah. Oh, okay, it's going to be like that with their phone. You're going to open their phone and be like, oh, you're on Facebook. I know where you know. Yeah. Oh, you're on this other one. I know what you think.
Right.
How funny.
Today's Quad is brought to you by Maps Anabolic. If you're looking to maximize your overall muscle and strength, Maps Anabolic is the perfect place to start. With a full 30-day money-back guarantee, there is absolutely zero risk. So what are you waiting for? Go to mindpumpmedia.com and get started today.
It's the motherfucking Quad.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First question is from Terry Newyup 19. Should I go to failure on isolation exercises?
Sal hates to do this.
This is actually a good question because, first off, isolation exercises are movements that typically utilize one joint, right? So like a curl or a tricep extension or a lateral for the shoulders. Those are all considered isolation exercises. Now, I'm not a huge fan of going to failure a lot on lifts. However, if you're going to go to failure, it's typically more appropriate to be done in isolation movements because they just don't cause as much damage to the body. Like one set to failure of barbell squats is going to fry everything. It's going to not just fry your muscles, but also fry your central nervous system.
It's going to take a lot more recovery to come back.
Everything.
It's not just that. It's the risk too, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm doing a cable bicep curl to failure,
you're probably not going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to hurt myself when I can't get that last rep up. You do a barbell squat with 200 pounds on your back and you can't get that last rep up. I mean, there's a good chance. And even if you don't get hurt like bad, like do something to your knee or tear something, the stress that it even puts on all the wrong muscles, the ones that aren't supposed to be assisting in the lift, but that are helping you to bail out and get out, then you have that going on too. So,
well, not to mention the load's going to be a lot less, in terms of like comparing that to a backloaded squat, deadlift, or bench press or something like that, where, you know, like you can control the weight a little bit more to failure and have, so there is a lower risk factor to that. I remember doing, was it 21s all the time like bicep curls? And so this was something that we did experiment a lot with isolation exercises. I can't say that. That's the thing.
No, I like it for that reason. In fact, I'm not a fan. We talk about not going to failure most of the time. I mean, 80 plus percent of training in the gym is not to failure for me, for sure, on any exercises, even isolation exercises. But if I am going to utilize it, I'm going to utilize it more there. And just think about it. When you, if your goal, especially if you're trying to sculpt, it's different if you're just trying to build overall strength or work on CNS, like you just power output, right? But if you were trying to build a body and you're doing a bench press, your desired outcome of building, doing that is to build your chest.
Right.
And if you take that exercise to failure, unless you're a really advanced lifter and really, really good of knowing when the chest fails to not allow the rest of the body to cheat or compensate to move the weight anymore, you end up working other stuff. You're not getting the real benefits from what you're trying to do by taking the chest to failure on a bench press, because it ends up shoulders get involved, the arching in the back gets involved. You know, just not ideal if your goal was to build a chest.
That's also somewhat true for isolation, though, right? Because if you're doing an isolation movement, your form needs to be perfect. Like talking about a lateral, for example, a sad lateral, your form needs to be perfect to really hit the side of the shoulders. And when you go to failure on an isolation exercise, it typically becomes something different. The form starts to break down. And so this is true for isolation. if you're going to go to failure and isolation movements, do it with perfect form. I mean, this is true for all exercises, but it's really easy to change it up and turn it into something.
It gets away from you fast because you're trying your hardest to get through, you know, the grueling part of that. And then inevitably you're going to compensate because your body's, you're telling your body, we need to be able to get to that end rep. And so you're going to get it by all means necessary.
This is a great point because, There's a difference, and I believe one of the programs we actually have we actually talk about this, right? We talk about the difference between what everybody else deems failure and then what we consider failure, right? Mm-hmm. So failure to me isn't that I can't move the weight anymore or lift it or even perform the exercise anymore. Like, failure to me is the minute that my form breaks down.
Yeah, I cannot maintain perfect form anymore.
I cannot keep perfect form anymore. Therefore, I've failed. Now I don't do. But I know when that happens, I could cheat up one or two more reps.
Totally.
No matter what exercise that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you have to take that into consideration, whether you're doing an isolation or compound in this conversation, is that, you know, failure is a tool and can be a great tool when used appropriately. But one of the ways that you really quickly lose a lot of the benefits of training to failure is when you do one, two reps beyond what form failure looks like, and then you just overcompensate on other areas. Now you're creating bad patterns, bad habits, and you're increasing risk.
And it just becomes a different exercise.
Right.
All right. Next question is from Adam Kotzmeier. How often do you really need to work abs and core?
Like you would work any other body part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people do best working body parts anywhere between 2 to 4 days a week, I would say. Most people somewhere in the middle at about 3. Now, studies show why this tends to be the case. When you work out, you get this spike in what's known as muscle protein synthesis, which essentially is a signal showing that your body is using proteins to build new tissue. Okay, so that rises after working out. It drops very quickly after about 48 to 72 hours, even if you're still recovering. So let's say you work out your biceps really, really hard on Monday. By Wednesday, that signal drops, even if your biceps are still recovering and still sore. And that's because recovery and adaptation are kind of two separate different things. So for most people, you want to keep that signal elevated, which means every other day or every third day, you want to hit that body part again. This is also true for the abs and the core. It took me a long time to really figure this out. It's funny because I applied it to clients way before I did for myself. But when I did apply this to myself, it was a total game changer. And now I'm not saying double the volume of your workouts by working them out, you know, training your body parts, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. I'm saying take your total volume and just divide it up over 2 or 3 workouts so that you get more of that frequency. Same thing, it's still true for the abs and core as well. About 2 to 3 days a week, maybe 4 days a week if you're advanced, is probably perfect.
Yeah, I kind of picked this question because this was one of those areas where I find myself like I'm guilty of neglecting every now and then just because it's one of those considerations of training where you really have to keep that attention in that specific part of your body. And it is a big difference in performance. It's a big difference in the way that I have this stability and this rigidity throughout my body that helps me to perform movements better. I feel strong, supported, and I tend to forget about it because I'll end up doing compound lifts where I'm bracing hard. I'm feeling the weight. My abs are very much involved in terms of like stabilizing my spine, but I'm not actively strength training my abs. And when I don't, I feel the difference.
Well, I'm going to defend you a little bit though, Justin, because I do think the statement that Sal said is generally true, and I agree that it's just like any other muscle. If you want to develop it or if you want to get the most out of it, you should be training it 2 to 4 times a week, and that stands true. But I think what I would add to that is I do think that there is a much higher need for it depending on the way the person trains already. Meaning this, like, so something that we all know about Justin, because we've talked it at nauseam on the show, is he's the unconventional guy. He swings the mace bells. He pushes the sled a lot. He does plyometric explosive stuff a lot. He does anti-rotational stuff. All of those incorporate the core and abs more than the traditional bodybuilding type of routine. So I think that what Sal says is true, But I think that it's really important for somebody to really understand the way they train and how important it is that they need to be including ab and core training. If you are if you're an athlete and you are training a lot of, you know, multi-planar movements and explosive and anti-rotational and swinging clubs, there's a lot of good core stabilization that's happening and strengthening, and in heavy loaded squats, all great. It's probably less important that that person is making sure they're hitting their abs 2 to 3 times a week than it is for somebody who is doing buys on one day and tries and then chest another day and doing a lot of machine exercises and don't incorporate a lot of unconventional training.
Right, right. For example, the program that we have on 50% off this month is MAP Strong. Following a program like MAP Strong, you don't need to do a lot of targeted core work just because you're following a program that includes things like farmer walks and snatch grip deadlifts and high pulls.
Circuit press.
Lots of movements that involve core stabilization. There are core movements in the program, but there's not a lot of specific core movements because so many of the movements involve the core. So that's a very, very good point. Now, one of the other reasons why I like working out body parts more frequently is skill is better developed when you practice more frequently. It just is. This is for any skill. Frequency is king with this. And resistance training is also a skill. So besides the muscle protein synthesis signal and all that, even if once a week with the same amount of volume as 2 or 3 days a week built the same amount of muscle, the 3 day a week one is going to develop better skills with the lifts. So for me, the 2 to 4 days a week, if you want to work your core in a targeted way, is ideal.
Next question is from XSuppo. What do you all consider the three most essential supplements a person should take if they could only take three?
Well, that would be my three would be different than probably your three because of vitamin D is one for me.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because of my skin issues and stuff like that and my lack of sunlight, that's a staple for me. If you're somebody who has don't have a deficiency there, then it shouldn't be a essential one for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this question is very, very dependent on the person. And this is what we've said since day one on supplements. Like, the best way to supplement is to figure out what you potentially are lacking in, and that becomes essential for you.
It is. Now I can speak generally, so I'm going to speak, and Adam's 100% correct. It depends on the person. But generally speaking, most people will benefit from taking creatine. That's a supplement that most people are going to notice some benefits, and the benefits include strength gain. They're gonna notice potentially improved cognition. It does show that in a lot of studies. It's got pro health properties with it. In fact, creatine is now being included in a lot of wellness supplements. We're not even talking about sports or bodybuilding supplements.
Right. Muscle sparing.
Just wellness supplements now are starting to include creatine. It's good for the mitochondria of the cells. So creatine would be one that I would say that, you know, generally speaking, most people would benefit from taking. The other one would be protein powder. Now, it's not because you need protein powder, but it's rather because a lot of times people find it difficult if their goals are to build muscle or preserve muscle if they're burning body fat. They may find it difficult to eat the optimum amount of protein for that. And studies show that that's a high amount. That's a high amount of protein. For most people, it's a lot. You know, you're looking at, if you're a 150-pound female, you're looking at about 110 to 150 grams of protein a day, which, you know, that's a decent amount of protein, and most people have a tough time getting that in, and protein powders can be extremely valuable in a situation like that.
Yeah, I think that used to be my focus when I was more trying to really muscle gain, and it was all about performance. These days, it's all about gut health for me and digestion, and so I tend to, my top ones like revolve around that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Digestive enzymes and shit like that.
Yeah, digestive enzymes, HCL pills, probiotics, you know, things like that are going to help my gut flora and just help me to not have the symptoms that, like, you know, heartburn and things like that I suffer from. So, I mean, that really is something that, if those are obviously considered supplements that are, you know, very valuable for me in terms of my own health and well-being these days.
Yeah, and I think the most valuable supplement you'll ever take is the one that is specific to you.
Right.
That's by far. Like, if you have if you have a nutrient deficiency and you supplement with a nutrient that your body needs, that's a total game changer. It's, it literally will change your life.
Yeah, like vitamin D is a big one. Yeah.
Right, that's huge for me. Then I would make the case also for like green juice. I'm notorious for not getting vegetables. I could easily have 3 days in a row where I was eating meals that didn't include that. Yeah. Like when I'm good and I'm prepping and I'm doing all that, then it's not an issue. But there's lots of times when I'm on the go or I'm lazy or I'm being quick and I don't get enough vegetables in my diet. And I can see and feel a significant difference when I do. Mm-hmm. And of course, always I'm going to advocate for people getting that through Whole Foods. That is the most ideal way always to do it. But if not, and I have that, that becomes a very essential supplement for me to have on my side too.
Next question is from Frines Dinmamos. How do you fix a hip shift when one hip is higher than the other at the bottom of a squat or a deadlift?
Okay, so this
asymmetrical shift.
Yeah, there's a few reasons why this could be happening. In my experience training clients, oftentimes you're looking at an imbalance in the spine. There could be your QL muscle could be shortened on one side, causing the hip to rise up a little bit. Nonetheless, I don't know what you look like. I can't watch your squat, so I can't diagnose necessarily over the podcast. But I will say this, the way to fix it may be to go much lighter, slow down, and to forcibly put that hip in a level position. However light you need to go to make that happen, and then to practice that enough times to where you can add a little bit of weight and then that form doesn't change and slowly move up in that way. And be very patient because typically with any kind of a movement issue, the second you really challenge yourself, you go right back to the poor movement pattern. So you got to take your time with this. It can take a long time sometimes.
So I can't diagnose you without seeing you move, right? So it could be a host of different things. Now, I will share with you, because this is more recent for me, that my mind was blown when I met Dr. Brink 5 years ago. And Brink really opened my eyes to how much is related to the foot. Mm-hmm. And I was guilty of this. So I had a slight asymmetrical shift at the bottom of my squat. And I constantly was looking at, knees and hips and everything above and wasn't really paying attention to my feet. And it was 100% related to I was pronating excessively on one side more than the other, which caused the shift. Yes. And that is where it stemmed from, was that. And since I was educated on that, now when I've looked at other people's squats and helped them with deadlifts with similar situations as the one that we're talking about right now, 90% of the time, it actually was the foot was the area I had to address first and then work my way up the kinetic chain. Mm, yeah. So you may feel it in like back areas and notice knee and stuff like that, but a lot of times it's stemming from your feet. So I love to take someone like this now and barefoot squat them or barefoot deadlift them and either video it for them so they can watch it and see it and really analyze the feet on both. And you'd be surprised, normally when you have something like this, you're going to see a major discrepancy on one side more than the other.
I found a lot of what you're talking about is something I started to gear my focus and attention on too, and have people do walking patterns barefoot, and you can really see where these compensations occur. And to just be very simple in terms of like something that I would focus on, and shift my attention towards would be more of unilateral training and also like single leg balance and things like that. What's really something that was eye-opening for me was the instability. And so what we need to address here is how the body's overcompensating based off of an instability that is highlighted. And where's that instability occur? That's where we need to do the work to find that out. So those types of exercises to really work on, core and control and, sending the right type of recruitment pattern will be everything.
Yeah, it's funny about these types of things is that oftentimes you have them, you don't even know.
Yeah.
You're lifting and you can even be watching yourself in the mirror and you won't necessarily pick up on
I didn't.
What's happening.
I'm a fucking trainer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I like to share what I went through, because it blew my mind. I mean, over a decade, I would have already considered myself a damn good trainer by this time. And it was completely oblivious to me that the issues were stemming from my foot.
Yeah, what you can do is, if you want to see how you if you have any of these issues, is you can film just your feet and ankles, and then film just your knees, and then just your hips, just your upper back, hands and shoulders, and then film the whole thing and scrutinize throughout the entire movement. And very few people are totally balanced. Most people have some kind of a breakdown somewhere. And this is cool because then when you find it, you know there's something you can work on. And when you fix it, it's like, oh, it's life-changing. All of a sudden, you feel
it
totally different. It
unlocks all new potential.
Oh, completely. It does that. And what happens with a lot of times with someone like this who is, you know, exercising on a regular basis is they typically have stiffness or achiness or tightness on one side more than the other, and it's just part of their life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had to dealt with so many clients like that where they, my right side of my low back, tightens up sometimes, or my left knee bothers mm-hmm. me, or what, you know. And what's cool is that you had no idea that, you know, it was really stemming from this breakdown. And when you address that, all of a sudden you alleviate these things. I mean, that was like me for my low back. Like, I just assumed that squatting means my low back is going to be on fire for the next 2 or 3 days. And that was part of it. It wasn't until I really started to unpack and break this all down and put the work in, you know, and start addressing this, did I start to see a lot of that stuff go away.
Excellent. Look, this month, MAPS Strong is 50% off. Just go to mapsstrong.com. And use the code STRONG50, that's STRONG50. If you want to find us on Instagram, you can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.